She spins and she putting the asthmatic in charismatic. You're listening to Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show.
And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying that I need you. There's a ball at the castle and I've been invited. And I need to practice my dancing. Oh please, daddy please. So I will dance with Cinderella.
Well, Stephen Curtis and Mary Beth Chapman are about to join us, folks. He's a Grammy-winning recording artist. She's a New York Times best-selling author. They're adoption advocates, both of them, obviously. Stephen and Mary Beth are going to join us to bring us up to speed on the latest goings-on in the life of the Chapman family. Stephen has brought his inspirational sound back home to his rural Kentucky origins on his latest CD, Deep Roots, an exclusive album release from Cracker Barrel Old Country Store. Remember Cracker Barrel? Love them.
Oh, yeah.
Showhope.org is celebrating its 10-year anniversary. They've helped more than 4,000 orphans find adoptive families by awarding financial grants, and they've also provided life-giving medical care to over 1,000 orphans with special needs. Man, they are so going to have a big place in heaven. Maria Sue Chapman, adopted and youngest daughter to Mary Beth and Stephen, was tragically killed in an accident in the family driveway on a Wednesday evening in 2008. And in her book, Choosing to See, Mary Beth shows how she wrestles with God in the midst of a loss. It kind of doesn't make sense. StephenCurtisChapman.com, MarybethChapman.com. There's all the information you need to know. And let's see if we can get them both here on the phone. Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman, are you there?
I am here. Yes, sir.
Mary Beth Chapman, are you there?
I'm here.
There she is.
Listen.
Reporting for duty. Yes.
Thank you.
Hey, how are you, Drew? Good to talk to you.
I'm doing real well. First question I have for you, Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman, is did you get that couch you were looking for, that butt ugly couch you want to put in your studio?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. My wife can answer for me because she actually found it. She was the one who discovered it and did get it. So yes,
what?
We did find it. It needs a bit of a, as my wife would say, it needs a hug. So it's in the process of getting a hug now because it's a little gnarly.
Right. What color did we decide on, Mary Beth?
You know, I'm not going to let him have, he wanted to have like some bright red, but I think I'm going to go more in the olive green category.
Olives. I love olives.
The okay. Olives.
All right. I have another question for Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman. By the way, do I have to keep calling you Stephen Curtis Chapman?
I'd prefer if you can drop the Mr. You can even drop the Curtis Chapman if you want, but I'm good with whatever. Whatever feels right to you.
Okay, dog.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Stephen, your wedding photo. Dude, you had a mullet. I mean, the dirty stash was bad enough, but a mullet?
Well, I would like to go on record that at the time, it didn't have that awful name attached to it. It was actually a really stylish hairdo for about 15 minutes, I think, in the late 80s.
Uh-huh.
That would have been the early 80s, I guess, actually, now that I think about it. But and I'm always quick to point out my good friend Michael W. Smith, who also did have a mullet. I didn't perm mine, and I always like to point that out. I never got the perm.
Well done.
So
well done.
I have one, I think at least one up on him. But, yes, that was the do that refuses to die. It keeps coming back to haunt me.
I'm glad you brought up Michael W. Smith because, you know, I would like to know if he's learned to shave yet. Every album cover, he had stubble and like a pink sweater over his shoulders or something. I don't get that.
No, he's still. I think I may have gotten him a razor a couple of Christmases ago. No.
All right. Mary Beth, the thing that astounds me most about your journey is that you actually wanted to marry an accountant. Really?
I did. I was very, very much a person who was looking for kind of a
safe
9-to-5 safe lifestyle, a couple weeks off in the summer, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and now you're you know, you had the 6 kids, the depression, the fires, public life. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was one of those pretty Jesus people on the Women of Faith tour.
Busted.
Oh. That's horrible. Horrible.
Oh my goodness. I'll tell you what, I'm about as broken as the next person, but okay. they let me on the stage.
Yes.
Why you gotta be like that, Mary Beth? Why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta get up on my grill about this stuff?
Hey, I figured you do a pretty good job dishing it out, so push them back.
Okay. Moving right along, folks.
Yeah, you may have met your match on this one, Drew.
I think so. Okay, who started all this adoption business first? Was it Mary Beth? Please tell me it wasn't Jeff Moore. That's all I wanna know.
No. Jeff Moore, actually, no.
We actually sucked them into the void of the adoption, the lovely world of adoption. It was our 11-year-old daughter who is now 27 years old.
Right.
And she just prayed us. We went on a Compassion International trip to Haiti, and it really rocked our world back in 1997. And we just really all started praying about it. And I think secretly, Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman wanted to, I think he would have loved to have adopted, but he really wanted it to be something that our entire family really felt on board with. And I was kind of the last holdout, but once God really, as we prayed, and once God really asked me to take that step of faith, it obviously changed our world, changed our life, and so glad I didn't miss it.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, I sort of found out about your lives through a mutual friend, Dina DeVito.
Love her.
Yeah, and of course, Dina, you know, I've had her on my show because, you know, her story is she got sick of waiting for Mr. Right, and so she went to Russia and adopted him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's taken some heat for that because she's, you know, single mom, and especially in the Bible Belt, you know, Jesus land.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not cool. You know, you don't go be adopting, you know, kids if you're a single mom. Is that something Jesus would do? I don't think so, you know.
Yeah, I mean here in the South, there's a lot of single women who do adopt. I think what Dina did was very brave, and I admire her for it. And it hasn't been an easy journey for her. She adopted a little boy from Russia, and it's been the mountaintop experience for her, and it's been the valley experience for her as well. And I think if she were sitting here with us, she would just say, I'd do it all over again. He is the light of her life, and she's been an inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, I'm adopted, and I come with a boatload of baggage. They won't even let me on any Air Canada flights. That's how much baggage
Man,
I have.
I'm not adopted, and I have a whole Samsonite factory behind me.
Yeah, I've heard that about you, actually, Mary Beth. Yeah. And so when you adopt children from other countries and orphanages and all the messy stuff that's over there, why the heck would you do that?
You know what? I guess God just, you know, I'm a firm believer that God doesn't call everybody to adopt, but I'm a firm believer that everybody's called to do something and to respond. And when God actually literally felt like God was impressing on our hearts to adopt, and when we did see the need, it was something that we really were moved to that compassionate place of going, you know what, we have room at our table. And the minute that I held Johanna, our first of the adopted three, of course I didn't know what was to come with Stevie Joy and then with Maria and then losing Maria, and I didn't know it was going to get that messy. And of course, sometimes as Christians, we kind of get this thought that, you know what, we're doing all this hard, or we're doing this great stuff, and it's going to go well with us, and nothing's going to go wrong. Well, that's not anything further from the truth, because obviously us losing our daughter 5 years ago, it was like the rug got pulled out from under us. But we just really felt compelled to walk the journey, and again through the hard and the good, really feel like we have been completely blessed with being able to walk this journey with those kids.
Okay, let's talk about the youngest three for a second, Larry, Curly, and Mo.
Yep, no, that's Eeny, Meeny, and Miney.
Okay, sorry, that's right. So we've got Joanna, Hope, Stevie, Joy. So we got Hope, Joy, and then Maria Sue. Why not Maria Love or something?
You're exactly right. We struggle with that. Maria Faith, Maria Peacekeeper.
Joy and Sue. It's Greek. That's the original Greek.
Maria was the only Chinese. They're all three Chinese, but she was the only one in China that was actually fostered by an American family working in a in a Christian foster home there, and the mother's middle name was Sue, and the foster mother's middle name was Sue, and I really wanted to honor her for loving on her for the first 15 months of her life. And it just so happened that Maria Sue's name in Chinese was Su Cheng Sui, and Su was spelled X-U because that's how you would pronounce it there, and so we just kind of did all that together, and Maria Sue, S-U-E, became her name.
Okay. All right. Now, your oldest three, Will, Caleb, and Emily. You know, when I think of your oldest three, obviously I go right to Will because of the story.
Of course.
Where are you guys at with discussing the events of that night back in 08? I mean, what don't you like? Let me just ask that. What don't you like about recounting that story again and again and again?
You know, we people have been really sweet and gentle with us as we talk about what happened 5 years ago. You know, we're a family that somebody gave us a plaque recently that had a bunch of things about family, and one of the lines was, we do loud really well. And our family, all of us, we love loud, we love hard, we scream, we hug, we talk things out. And just from the very beginning with Will Franklin, I had already lost my youngest and my daughter, and I didn't want to lose him. And you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that, because it was obviously such devastation to him. And he was very close with all, he's very close with all of his siblings, but in particular the three from China, and in particularly the baby of the family, Maria. So of course at the time it felt like God not only took us to the lowest of lows, it was even really low, because it was like, God, why Will, why Maria, why all this? And so, you know, it's hard to recount, it's hard to talk about, but now that we are 5 years out, we can talk about God's goodness and God's faithfulness to restore and heal. And, you know, he still has hard days. It can't be easy, but he's my hero, because he walks this out daily, and he has people around him, and he's trusting the Lord, and it's not perfect, it's not all hunky-dory, but I see an amazingly strong young man when I look at him.
Folks, on the phone with Stephen Curtis Chapman and his lovely wife, Mary Beth. Obviously, Mr. Stephen Curtis Chapman married up.
Clearly.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, I would. I would. Dude, I saw that. I mean, dude, I think I just called you, dude, Mary Beth. Yes. I saw the hair. I saw the green guitar. I saw
the stash.
Yeah, the dirty tash. The just nasty. Listen, how does a 17-year-old, Stephen, deal with, you know, with accidentally causing the death of, and that's not even the right word, I'm struggling with the sentence, of his 5-year-old sister, Rhea, right?
Well,
how does he do that?
You ask, and I'll say, you know, I mean, you know, how we feel about discussing any of the events of that day. You know, we hate it, despise it, and yet it is a story that we feel like we have been entrusted with, and we really feel kind of that's the way. I mean, even before we did any interviews or talked at all, and you may remember in the early days we did some, you know, interviews on national television, Larry King and different ones, and we went to Will in every case. And of course, the reason, for those that might not know, the reason we keep talking about Will Franklin, he was the one behind the wheel of the car that struck our daughter in our driveway and didn't see her, of course, and it was a awful, unthinkable tragedy and an accident. And we went to him immediately and said, "Well, you decide. You know, we're not going to do any of this. We won't talk about it." In fact, one of the most profound, and this is the kind of stuff, you know, people say, and I've said, I've asked it in songs, I've wrestled with it, I've screamed it till I had no voice left. God, you know, where were you? How could you? How could this happen? And yet, you know, now we can look at moments, and I can say, well, one of the places I saw God was in, you know, Will Franklin's big brother, Caleb, older by a year and a half, who said, "Can we really not even say to the media which son it was?" Because willing to, you know, to shoulder the burden of that with his brother and say, is it possible just to not even mention the name? That way it could be me, it could be him. Hmm. Those are the kind of things where you go, okay, I see God in that. I can see, you know, God at work in the heart of our son. And the words that were spoken at her memorial service through the mouths of my own children that were profound, that could have only come from you know, the Spirit of God, not from anything that they had in and of themselves. And so, you know, you see those things. But to watch Will, as my beautiful bride has said, you know, he's a warrior, and we really, you even see things that you never even wanted to see or know about your children, you know, because you never wanted to have to watch them put in a crucible, you know, you didn't want to see them forged by fire the way that we've watched, but we see in our son Will this incredible warrior we always knew was there. I mean, he's a small guy. He played, you know, started on his varsity basketball team with guys 2 feet taller than him because he's a warrior. And he even said at a point, he said, if any one of us in this family were going to be given this burden, I really know that I was the one that could carry it, because wow. It would have crushed his brother, much more tender in ways, and not as just much of a that warrior spirit, and even his sister. So we've been able to see in all that, to see God work in pretty incredible ways. And yet, like my wife says, we always just, we get redundant with it, but we always follow that up, and I follow it up for my wife because I know it's important for her. You know, our hearts are broken. Our hearts will always be broken. We never want to have that, you know, present that, hey, you know, yeah, man, it's all good. We're through it. We're over it. Because you carry that. It's like an amputation, or like a part of your soul is removed. And until heaven, we'll carry that, you know, that missing part of us with us.
Yeah.
But we can sit here and have this conversation with you because God has been faithful.
Okay.
And he has carried us.
But here's the deal, guys. What do you... This is killing me here. What do you do when the breadcrumbs disappear? Like, what happens if, God forbid, another tragedy hits your family? You know, do you ever feel trapped in your faith because of who you all are and what y'all are doing for a living? You know, like a pastor feels trapped and alone with maybe a hidden doubt. You know, they're spiritually doubting things and they feel trapped.
No, yeah. But let me tell you, it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And there is not a day that goes by. And you know what? You know, early on, I really struggled with this. Early on, the trauma therapy, you just don't even get what my other two daughters witnessed, what, you know, obviously Will saw when he got out of the car, what, all of that. And you move forward through some of the counseling and da-da-da. The trauma therapist with our little girls, because they were, you know, 5 and 8 at the time, she told us to basically play the odds and tell them nothing bad's ever going to happen again, when you know, I know, that nothing that bad is hopefully ever going to happen again, but it's not that it couldn't happen again. And you pose a really good question, because you talk about someone who has demanded of God, who has screamed at God, who has written the questions down, who has sat with her pastor, who has said, man, I do not get this, who read Job, the whole book of Job, in a whole new way. You don't talk about somebody who asked some questions. I mean, God took his whole family. Not only did he take his family, he allowed Satan to do it, you know,
right.
And on one hand you go, I'm Stephen Kershaman's wife. I can't, he's the guy that's got, you know, he's the good guy.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. That's Mr. Stephen Kershaman.
Yeah. Mr. Stephen Chapman.
Yeah.
Although, you know, my maiden name was Chapman, so we could say it's Mrs. whatever. Okay.
Yeah.
But seriously, you know, there's been people tracking me down, and I'm, you know, sitting at the cemetery screaming these things at God. And he's very patient, and he's very gentle. And I feel like he does remind me that he is ultimately sovereign. And I will not get it. I want her back more than I want, you know, anything.
Right.
I mean, I he knows that, but I figured he created me. He knows that's my longing is for my little girl.
Okay, but here's my issue with all this, guys, and please help me get through this, because just this morning I went to visitation. I couldn't stay for the funeral for a couple of reasons. Number one, I walk around with my emotions about a centimeter away from busting out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'd stayed for that funeral, I would not have been able to do my show properly today. Of a young girl, 15, I think, Emma Grace, who just died from leukemia. She is, her mother was on my show a little while ago, and Emma is the daughter of a pastor in the area, a pastor and his wife, okay? Then we talk about Rick and Kay Warren's son. Now we talk about your daughter. And in all of this, you know, here's the typical questions, right? Do you ever get angry at God? Or do you ever say, why us? And then, you know, so, well, why not us? I mean, you know, so who do you blame? Well, we blame Satan. Well, why, I don't understand. So apparently Satan messes with people who do great things for God, right? So do you ever think that why the heck would we be continue doing this celebrity stuff for Jesus? Because it ain't worth the price.
Who does that sound like, Steve?
Yeah, you hear a lot of noise in the background, and it's because we're having a big celebration of 10 years of Show Hope since we started this organization that helps families experience what we call the miracle of adoption. And yet, we all know, because we've lived with this 10 years now and our own experience with Showy, 13 years now almost, that, well, 13 years, yeah, this last March, that while it's a miracle, it's also a journey that's going to take you to deeper, darker, harder places than you probably could have avoided some of that had we not gone into this. And yet here we sit still very much more confidently than ever, ready to say, no, it's a miracle, because we've experienced God in the middle of it, and we're doing this now. But we feel like, Mary Beth and I talk often, that we're going to have to go in the witness protection program in a couple of years, because all these babies and these, you know, beautiful children that these families adopt, you know, they turn into teenagers, and not only do they bring their own issues and challenges, but then just teenagers alone, they're going to come looking for us, going, this was your idea. You said this was a good idea. But, you know, I think the reality in all of that for us is that, you know, it comes down to one thing, because we do often think, man, we're encouraging people to sign up for this when we know from firsthand experience, it's like painting a target sometimes, you feel like, on yourself and saying, well, then why in the heck do we keep, why would we do this? Why would we encourage anybody else to do this? And then we, you know, you open the scripture, because we have presented a gospel to people, I believe, and I grew up with it, and it was God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And I believe it to the core of my being, as foolish as it is, because it is foolishness, the message of the cross,
but,
all that.
But Stephen, hold on a second, man. Seriously. Like, God and I have had this long-standing argument. It's not really an argument, because he's quiet on his side, so I'm just shouting away going, I call God dude.
Mm-hmm.
You screw with me as much as you want, but you mess with my kids, you and I are done.
Mm-hmm.
Is this theologically accurate? The more you do for God, you know, if you're on fire for the Lord, the more on fire, you know, frontline Jesus people, whatever the phrasing is, then the target in the back of their head is bigger. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm going to lose my kid? I'm going to lose one of my kids? Because if that's the deal, that's the arrangement, I want out.
Yeah. Well, and I can't answer that for you, obviously. Only God can answer that for you, and he won't even answer it for you. At least that's my experience of it. God is often much more silent than I wish he were in my demanding, you know, that it's got to work out this way or I'm out.
No, but do you not, like, I just want to talk about the theology of the target thing. The target theology. What do you think?
I don't know that. I think that's maybe your theology. I don't think it's the theology of the God of the universe. I can't answer all the questions, and luckily, when I get to heaven, I won't even have to ask them. But I know this about Maria. I wish, with all the wish in the world, that she was with us, and I wish I could take that day back. I wish for my son I could take that day back. And it does. Sometimes it, quite frankly, it pisses me off. Sorry, I used that word.
No, I get it.
It does. But here's the deal. Maria Chapman was born and abandoned and had a heart condition. And a foster home there had her for a little while. She came home. We adopted her. She had a mom, a dad, two brothers, and three sisters. And when she passed away, she had the love of a family and the love of being adopted, which that's the gospel, according to me, that I am adopted and grafted into the kingdom of God. All the crap that happens in the world, I mean, Adam and Eve, I guess it started there with the fall of man and sin. And you know what? I've thought it a million times. If you mess with one of my kids, then, you know,
Mama Bear's coming out.
Mama Bear's coming out. And boy, Mama Bear came out that day, and I did whatever I could to try to save it. And I couldn't. And I can't explain it. It's a matter of faith and trust.
Mary Beth, a second ago you said, who does that sound like to Stephen? Who did I sound like?
Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, let me say this too. You know, here's what I believe about God, because it is real easy. And you said it, you know, Drew. You know, you mess with one of my kids, you know, then I'm out. And I've wrestled with it, you know, at depths that I never ever imagined I would. And I can't. No one I know. I've talked to some of the wisest. And no one can answer the question. I don't think we have a definition. I believe God's sovereign. I just don't think we have a real definition of God's sovereignty. I don't think we're ever going to come up with it this side of heaven.
Yeah.
But what I do believe is that on May 21st, when I wrestled with God, where were you? Because in essence, I could go down that road to say, you messed with one of my kids. Or you allowed one of my kids to get messed with.
Yep.
And how am I going to resolve that? How am I going to stand in front of people again? Am I going to stand in front of people again and say anything about you, you know, and bless your name? Or am I going to curse it? Or what am I going to do? And I know somehow in the depths of my heart that God, I don't understand it. I can't have it explained to me as much as I want to demand it. I believe God was there. I believe God weeps with us. I believe God does not mess with our children. I believe there's a battle going on that we can't even begin to imagine. I don't know how. I wish I could demand that God do it the way I would do it. God is God, and I'm not. Neither are you, neither none of us are. And I believe it comes down to a foolishness of saying, God, I trust you. It's Job saying, you know what? You give, you take away. I like when you give. I don't like when you take away. I don't even understand what it means that you take away. I don't know if you take away. I don't know how all that works. I believe God weeps with us greater than we could ever imagine. If we're hurting, I believe God is hurting infinitely more than we are.
Well, and, I think I would love for you guys to shatter the target theology that's out there.
Yeah. Well, and what I said, I want to correct that, because, I mean, I say you feel that way sometimes. You feel like, well, man, if I'm doing this for God, then, you know, I feel like we have a target. And there are times. Because the reality is, if there really is a battle going on, and there's a dark kingdom of darkness, and there's a God, and there's an enemy of God, and everything beautiful, and everything that represents God, well, then we say, hey, we're taking children that Satan thought maybe, hey, I had this one wrapped up. I had this story, you know, going in a destructive way. And you jump in the middle of that and say, no, I believe there's a different story for that child. Then I think it totally stands theologically to Scripture that you're gonna encounter some kind of opposition to that that you might have been able to steer away from. You know, now, I don't think, a target painted on you when you say, I'm going to do this for God, I don't
know. No, because bad stuff happens to everybody. Right.
Right.
I mean,
it's on the just and the unjust. It's sure.
Exactly what I was going to say. All right, listen, I've got to be careful of our time, your time here and everything. So let me just finish by doing a little homework here. 2013 commemorates 10 years of service for Show Hope. If you don't know what Show Hope is, you want to watch Brad Paisley on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, because he had a killer shirt on. This weekend is their big celebration, which is being held in Nashville with 2 days full of music, fellowship, and food. See, those two always go together, fellowship and food. And lots of fun for the entire family. Celebration begins this today with an open house and wraps on Sunday evening at Lipscomb University in Nashville with a concert. And here's the deal, folks. The concert will be available for free via a live webcast.
Yay!
So that is very crazy. Stagehop.com is where you want to go to kind of track that stuff down. Free webcast. By the way, will Huggy Bear be there, Mr.
Jeff Moore?
Yeah. Will Jeff Moore be there?
How did I know that's who you were referring to? That's really scary.
Well, last time I hugged Jeff, he must have put on 40 pounds. I couldn't get my arms around the guy. And he is just a cuddly, cuddly little, you know. Anyway, yeah.
Yes.
He's our dear, dear friend, and I'll be glad to pass that message on to him.
What, the one that I said, please lose
some
weight?
You better watch your back.
Jeff will be here. He's got two adopted, beautiful daughters.
He's going to open up a can of...
Yeah, I know.
He's hosting the whole webcast. You can watch.
You'll see lots of him.
Good.
You'll see lots of him.
Good. Listen, guys, there's the book you can buy. There's the CD through Cracker Barrel you can buy. And there's this webcast you can hook into. And... you guys are actually as nice as people. I was hoping you'd be jerks because I didn't want to like you two, but I now like you.
Well,
I'm sorry to disappoint
you. You know what? What's not to like?
That's right.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend and congratulations on 10 years, you guys. Thank you so much. Yeah, bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Okay. Stephen Curtis Chapman, Mary Beth Chapman on the Drew Marshall Show. Dang. Some more people I got to like.
I'm protected from the storm that rages.
Full of wit and not afraid to ask the tough questions. The Drew Marshall Show, right here on Joy 1250, Hometown Christian Radio for the GTA.